Father, where will we be if not for your presence? None of us can actually merit anything from you, because everything that is given to us is a gift. Not because we fast so much, not because we pray so much. And at some points in life, we just know that we are actually relying on your mercy and your grace. So we just try to acquire more knowledge in order that we may be able to live up to the expectations that you have for us. And even that expectation, we can't live up to it. And you have to gift us your Holy Spirit to guide us. If this is not love, I don't know what I can call it. A God came in form of a man and died just for you and I. And only one condition, just love one another the same way I love you and keep my commandments. Just a commandment. And that commandment has everything to do with just love. But it seems like the enemies and the evil one fight against that word love. The earth has interpreted that word love to so many things. But at the center of it all, Father, it is you that we see. Against all odds, it is you that we see. Against all challenges, Father, it is you that we see. Against the mountains that are in front of us, it is you that we see. Against the wrong words spoken against us, it is you that we see. Against the challenges around the world, Father, it is you that we see. Father, we have come to understand that your mercy is everything that we desire. And sometimes we come in your presence with heaviness of heart and mouth. Sometimes we don't know how to utter all that we need and all that we desire. And some of us come in your presence, we are just quiet and sobbing with tears. But Father, I want you to know that regardless of however way our actions have displeased you, we just want to say we love you. Tell him you love him. Personalize that love and tell him, Father, I love you. Father, I love you. I might be a fool in my life. I might not know the right path to take or the directions to follow, but I know one thing, even if I don't understand what the word love means, but I know that the word love makes a way where there seems to be no way. So I love you. I might not fully understand you and understand the purpose of my creation on this earth, but one thing is possible, is that I love you. I might not understand it to the fullness of what love ought to be or what you expect the love I have for you to be. But Father, can I borrow the love you have for me and return it back and say that I love you? Will it be pride or proud if I say that I love you the amount you love me? It's not possible, but let me just borrow it with all humility and say, Father, that I love you. It's what I want you to just say. Let it be a personal communication between you and God. Just speak to God. It takes love for someone to operate in a dimension in the spirit. It takes love. You can speak in tongues, interpret tongues, prophesy, but without love, you are nothing. Love is the greatest of all things. It is more powerful and more real than whatever we can imagine. The word has changed our understanding of what love is. How many times do you come to prayer and just say, Father, I love you? How many times do you come? This is the time to tell him you love him.
I fully give all his embrace.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before the teaching of today, I want us to come to an understanding that is very, very important. Before the COVID-19 started, people were suffering. Now the COVID-19 started, people are suffering even more. There are people that could not afford one square meal a day when there was no COVID-19. And now that there is COVID-19, what do you make out of them? Those people that have jobs that they can support their family are losing their jobs as well. You see, in a way, it is time for you to come to understand what God is all about. You see the way the Bible says that everything will come to an end, but his word will remain the same. One day, work will cease. Offices will stop working. Cars will stop moving. You won't have time to even try to seek for work. The only thing you'll be seeking for is the glory of God, to find him. And maybe that time might be the time God will show you that he's the God that hides himself. Now that we have the privilege and opportunity to seek him and find him, let us seek him with all our heart and find him. I believe in miracles. I believe it. You can't change my mind about it. I believe it. I trust it. I have my whole heart in it. I know miracles exist. I've seen it. I've seen it in my life. I've seen the life of people I pray for. I've seen the life of a lot of people here. And I know miracle is more real than your imagination. But there are keys to accessing miracles. There are things that we have to know, or we ought to know, in order for us to access certain things in life. Thank you. If there's anything you are believing God for, begin to ask it now. I want you to increase your expectation of whatever you are believing God for. Increase it. Have a high expectation of what you are believing God for. Don't limit it. Just increase your expectations for him. You love him, yes. Just increase the expectation of what you want. The Lord will meet your needs now. Your needs, the Lord is meeting them right now. Father, I pray that the angels that are with me, Lord, let those angels begin to visit their needs, O Lord. Their needs that are in line with your words and in line with your will, Lord. Those that are asking for increase, Father, let them be increased in the name of Jesus. Those that are asking for breakthroughs, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. There is a dimension that is in God that can cast out a devil without saying devil leave. A woman meets with Jesus and said that, Master, my daughter is possessed. Have you read that story in the Bible? And Jesus said that, I have to first of all give to those that I'm called before I give anything to the dogs. And the woman said that even the dogs will eat off the plates. And he said, go, your daughter is free. Did Jesus cast out the demon? Did he say, come out? So how did that demon leave? By faith. The demon was not rebuked. The mother only had faith that Jesus can heal. He said, go, your faith has healed you. The faith of the woman chased out the demon. Just by believing in God, trust me when I say, by believing in God and having faith in him, some demons cannot have a dwelling place in you. It's a kind of dimension that by you believing in God, having faith in God, that you can cast out demons. It's very, very important that we come to that understanding. Highly important. Can we open our Bible to the book of Mark 11? I want you to open up your spirit to the possibilities of what God can do. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read because my reader is not here. Mark 11, verse 15. When they arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people, buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves, and he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. He said to them, "The scripture declares, 'My temple will be called the house of prayer for all nations,' but you have turned it into a den of thieves." When the leading priests and teachers of the religious law heard what Jesus had done, they began planning how to kill him, but they were afraid of him because the people were so amazed at his teaching. That evening, Jesus said to his disciples, left the city. The next morning, they are passed by a fig tree he had cursed. Now, there's something I want to understand here. Save this verse. The fig tree he had cursed. Now, let's go to verse 12. Follow me. Follow me very well. Mark 11 verse 12 said, the next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. Now, the figs are fruits of a fig tree. Now, any figs, but there were only leaves. But it was too early in the season for the fruits. That means, like, mango has their season. Is that correct? Now, according to what we are reading now, the tree, the reason why it did not bear fruit was because it is not its season. Is that correct? It's not its season to bear fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say that. Now, we go back to the verse where we are reading before. Verse 20. The next morning, as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noted it had withered from the root up. Jesus placed the curse on something that it was not even its season. You see, if you know the word of God, you must not operate in season. If you want, comes to you. Hear me, this is very deep. This is more than what you have been taught or what you can understand. It's quite deep. Now, we are told there is a season for everything, right? But in this level now, Jesus came to a tree, to a fig tree, to be precise. And Jesus was expecting fruit because he, Jesus, was what? Hungry. So Jesus was expecting that tree should be able to give him fruit. But Jesus searched and the tree could not produce fruit for him. And out of anger, out of knowing who he was, he could say, "Fig tree, produce fruit for me." But Jesus had that understanding that this tree should know that I'm coming for a fruit. Listen to how he spoke to the tree. He didn't call it "eat." He said, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." When you use the word "you," "your," is something that has to do with life. So the fig tree was alive in the eyes of God. And whatever that is alive in the eyes of God should produce whatever God wants. That was why when he comes, he said, "Let there be light." He doesn't care how you're going to do it. He wants the light to come. He said, "Let the water produce according to its kinds." He doesn't care how the water is going to do it. He has spoken, you produce. The fig tree was supposed to also learn that lesson, to understand that Jesus needed a fruit. You must provide it, regardless of your season. That is why he is God. He chooses whoever he pleases. He can take someone that is broken and say, "This is the one I love." Before Saul became Paul, Saul was chosen from the womb because God called him. He was called and anointed even before he was sent. He came to this earth, but his purpose was misguided. To him, he was doing the right thing, not knowing that he was doing the wrong thing. It's like someone now, for example, that wants to go to Lagos, but is busy heading towards Enugu. He might find a different shortcut to Enugu, but he will be delayed in wherever he's going. So Paul was heading somewhere, but seriously heading to a place with the wrong motive and the wrong direction. Are you following me? Jesus says something important. He referred to a tree as you. Let's go further. Now in verse 22, Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you. Is that in your Bible? Now Jesus is calling a mountain you again. In the eyes of Jesus, nothing is it. Everything is alive. In the eyes of Jesus, everything is alive. Look at the story. He made him to understand. He said that even King Solomon in all his glory could not even dress as much as these leaves. What about the birds of the air? They don't worry about what they will do tomorrow, but God feeds them. He said no sparrow can even fall on the ground without God being aware of it. How much more you? So if God can give life to a sparrow, then you have life. So God wants you to see everything the way he sees them. You see things as it. God sees it as you. God gives life to everything. He knows that this thing is alive. And that was why Jesus operates in a very high dimension. What we think is impossible to him, because he can always speak to that thing to act how he wanted to act. The anointing draws everything to itself. If you read the book, when Jesus Christ was coming down, a man that was possessed by legions of demons came out from the tomb and started coming closer to Jesus. He ran towards Jesus. Why is that? Whenever demons see Jesus, they run towards him and they fall on the ground. See, the anointing you carry attracts everything, both good and bad. You must be conscious. You are like a magnet the moment you become a Christian. You draw everything close to you, both good and both bad. Don't say the fire I carry rejects devil. The fire I carry makes devil scared. They are not scared. The more fire you carry, the more they want to tempt you. So it's better you carry that fire than not to carry it at all, because you are doomed if you don't carry it. How then do you see in the dark? There is one thing about faith. And until we come to that understanding, you know, reading the scripture and seeing that demons can live without me commanding them or speaking to them, but just that activating the faith of someone else can cast the demon out, it provokes my thoughts. Provoked it. And the funny thing was that when Jesus was on the ship sleeping, they were all worried. Are you not worried that we may die? Blah, blah, blah. And he stood up and said, be still. And everything stopped. He said, why don't you have faith? They don't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was not with them. He only said, why don't you believe? Why don't you have faith? So they don't actually need the Holy Ghost to start performing the miracle. They just need to believe God. It's scripture. When he called the 12 disciples, he gave them power and authority. Did the Bible say he gave them the Holy Ghost? He gave them power and what? Authority. That power lies in believing him himself. He said, believe the Father, as you have believed the Father, believe in me also. So there is something about God that we must come to an understanding. Everything has been written. It's just that we don't know how to pick it from the scripture. You can be a believer without the Holy Ghost. Do you know that? I want you to understand something here. I'm about to open you up to a dimension. So if you can perform miracles by just believing in Jesus Christ, how much more now that the Holy Ghost dwells in you? The Bible says that how Jesus of Nazareth was anointed of the Holy Ghost, who went about preaching and doing. Abi, there's a place to talk about preaching and doing. So he was, is it doing or preaching? Which one comes first? Is it preaching and doing or doing and preaching? Preaching and doing. So he was preaching it and he was exercising it. And he was doing good. So the gospel of Christ must do good in our lives. See, let me tell you something. Food day or food no, they believe in miracle. I've heard stories of people that wake up in the morning and the only way there was no food, know how they could feed. When they wake up in the morning, they just put plates and cover the plates and give thanks to God, open it and food is there. Yes. 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 They were not even tongues praying. They were not tongue speaking. There is a dimension that God wants us to come. The Holy Ghost is in us in His fullness, but we limit Him because we don't have the basic understanding. Some people will call you, man of God, I'm about to enter labor. I'm scared. I can understand. I've not been in labor before, but I can understand. I've heard stories. And I say, you know what? Don't worry about it. Just say thank you, Jesus. And she just said, thank you, Jesus. And she says, man of God, I put to bed. And she said, thank you. I'm like, I did nothing. I want us to stop limiting God by our mind. The devil cannot have access to your life except he has access to your mind. Once your mind is vulnerable, the devil will do whatever he wants to do with you. See, you can't shut your mind out from the devil. No, no. It has to be open. You resist him. You will resist him. He will come. You will resist him. The greatest thing that can kill anybody on this earth is pride. If you have it, if you sense it, kill it. If you sense it. See, killing of pride is not just confessing, pride, I reject you. Pride does not work like that. There's some money that comes to your hand that comes with the spirit of pride. There's some gifts that come to you that come with the spirit of pride. If God comes now, even the gift of God can come with the spirit of pride. God can just come and say, I've touched your tongue. Whatever you say, I will give you. The first thing you say, I want money. Let my enemy die. What happened? That power came and that power drawed pride. Then because you can do miracles or because you are gifted in some areas of your life, all of a sudden ego comes. So that is why we must purge ourselves in the spirit. Whatever healing you are believing God for is very, very possible. If that healing did not come to you, ask yourself the question, because you are the one hindering it, not God. God is too big to hinder himself. Are we getting blessed? I just want to touch this to you. God refers to trees as persons, refers to rock, mountain as beings. Do you know that the leaves sing to God? Do you know that the mountains and the stones sing to God? It's in your book of Psalms. Everything that is alive, you say, oh ye, everything that is alive, praise Him. Everything that has life, praises God. For the fact you don't see does not mean it does not happen. And that is something that Jesus Christ understood, that when he comes to a place, despite the season of the fig tree, he was not bothered about the season of the fig tree. The Bible was wise to write it that it was not the season of that fig tree to produce fruit, but Jesus demanded fruit from it. And because it was unable to produce that fruit, Jesus cursed it. That same Jesus is our Father that could just say, apple, appear, and it will appear. Then why did he curse that tree? He was trying for us to understand that though things work in season, there is a way to manipulate it. There is a way to manipulate season and time. A lot of things is happening in my life, both spiritually and sometimes when I see that, I just know that it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. There are men that have prayed in the spirit more than I can even imagine. But there are things that God has outlined in your life. There are spiritual transactions in the spirit. You must be open in the spirit to accept things that are from God. And you must be open to discern things from the spirit of God. Some of us, the reason why we can't hear the voice of God is because we don't even believe that God can speak to us. Some people say, the Lord spoke to me about a particular thing. And when they are done speaking, your spirit of God in you will tell you that I didn't say that. And you're wondering, how come? Don't say the Lord speaks to you because everyone said the Lord spoke to me. Say it because you have heard it. And before you start understanding the voice of God, your conscience must be purged. It's funny, but you can be sitting down. God will say, stand up. You stand up. He says, sit down again. You sit down. He says, stand up again. You stand up. He says, sit down again. You sit down. You don't know why. He's just trying to train you to hear his voice. Sometimes you are worshiping. He said, why are you standing? Kneel. And you say, but everybody's standing. Does it mean he's not hearing everybody? It's to you he's speaking. There's something he wants to train you on. Thank you, Jesus. Our teaching today is the perfect will of God. Thank you, Father. As I began to do this teaching, I want everyone, your spirit, to be very, very open. Walking in the will of God. Can someone say it? Walking in the will of God. Walking in the will of God. Now, there are two compulsory things that you need in order to walk in the will of God. Number one is trust and obedience. Trust and obedience. I want to open the book of Exodus 19. Exodus 19, verse 5. There are two things that are needed in walking in the will of God. You must trust God. You must obey Him. Some people trust is seasonal. They trust God this week. Next week, they want to rebel. That act alone will not allow you to grow the way you ought to grow. Because at a certain point, you might not be able to determine whose voice you are hearing. Whether that of God or that of the devil. I don't know how, but when the Bible talk about... let's keep going first. Exodus 19 verse 5, is someone there? I need mic, please, before you read, let them get mic for you. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Exodus 19:5. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant.
Now, there's something here. He said, now, if you obey me fully. That means that there's some people that obey halfly. I'm reading based on the contents of what the translation she's using. He said, now, if you obey me fully. That means you must follow me to the end. Then what happened?
Then out of all nations, you'll be my treasured possession.
Now, out of all nations. Now, that nation here is a person. Out of every person. Remember, the Bible said, can two nations come out in a day? And yes, it was possible. Jacob and Esau came out. They are two nations. They came out in one day. The Bible said that when the mother came, he said, I don't know what is happening. He said, it's because you are carrying two nations. So, I am a nation. You are a nation. And the Bible, now read it again. Have the mindset that you are a nation. Now read this thing again.
Then out of all nations.
Then out of every one of us.
You will be my treasured possession.
That you will be God's treasured possession. Do you know what it means to have a treasured possession? It means that wherever God is going, there are security guarding that possession. The reason why you go to bank, there are CCTV, is not because they want to look at your face. Nobody cares for your face. It's security. And there is a place where they keep their money. It can be called vault. There is high security there. If you go there are different kind of cameras. And trust me, when you open that place illegally, you must have the password to access it. And if you open it without being secured by some other people, if it is like the white man's place, what they do is that there is a thumbprint, there is an eye scanning stuff, and there must be two or three persons that have to, some can even do their breath, whatever, in order to access the door. And when the door comes in, you're not the same person that goes in to carry the money that will take it out. And that group will come and take it from there to the van, and that group will take from the van. Just like that. There are procedures. And so read that part again. And God said, I will take you as what?
My treasured possession.
You will become God's treasured possession. That means that you will be the most, everybody values the treasure. So when God says that you are my treasure, it means that he values you more than whatever you can imagine. But remember, there is a condition. He said, if only what? You will obey me fully. Just hold it. You still read for me. Sit down, please, ma'am. Are we here? Luke 6:46. Two compulsory things that you need in this life in order to walk in the will of God is trust and obedience. Luke 6:46.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Why do you call me Lord?
Now, there's something that is happening. No, we are Christians. Most time we call us. See, let me tell you something. Christianity is being different. Christianity is being different. Do you understand what I'm saying? Christianity is being different. And I want you to understand. You see, watch how life works. Let me not use myself for example. Watch how life works. You see, a great man of God, for example, have a population of over maybe 1 million persons or 500,000 persons. When that same man of God that have maybe 3,000 pastors under him meets his spiritual father, he comes down low. In front of his spiritual father, he's the help minister. In front of his congregation, he's the one, the minister, the pastor, the geo. But in front of another man of God, he humbles himself. Because there is something about honor. If you don't obey and trust God, you can't honor him. And Jesus is saying something here. He said that, read that part again. Luke 6:46.
Why do you call me Lord, Lord?
He said, why? So it's not about the title. We are calling him Lord, Lord. But there's something Jesus was expecting. It's not about you saying, Jesus, I love Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. It's not about confessing it. It's about the intentions of your heart. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord?
And do not do what I say.
And do not do what I say. Why? I don't understand. How can you say, Lord Jesus, and God will give you a command, you will not heed to it. And you come back and you try to blackmail him. I know you are a merciful God. Who are you deceiving? Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you call me Master? And you don't obey what I'm telling you. You don't obey the commandment that I give to you. So, according to Jesus, According to Jesus here, what he's trying to say is that in order for you to have a master is someone you must obey and trust. Is that correct? We're walking to a place here. Two things are important in walking in the perfect will of God. You must obey and you must what? Trust. Thank you, Jesus. Without these two mentioned above, you can't walk in the perfect will of God. Now follow me again. Three things are needed in your walking in the will of God. I said two is compulsory, right? Obedience and trust. Now three things are needed. When something is needed, it means you can't do without it. I need air to survive. Without air, I can't survive. Is that correct? Follow me. Now, the number one is the word of God. Number two is believing the word of God. Number three is faith, acting the word of God. If you listen to my preaching and you don't practice it, God will not say, Emeka, you didn't preach it. God will say, Emeka, you preached, they didn't listen. There is something God did. The moment Jesus was announced, the heaven opened and God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm pleased with. Hear him. So that means there was a tendency that people might doubt him. So he opened the eyes of Paul and the ears of Paul. Oh, sorry, the eyes of John the Baptist and the ears of John the Baptist for him to behold such vision, to know that he is the Messiah. so that Paul can have rest of mind to pass on. Because Paul said, for he must increase and I must decrease. Without that voice, that revelation coming to John, John will still not believe. John is a prophet. He hears and sees in the spirit. But I don't think there was any record of him doing any healing, but he was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. What we use in judging is not what God uses in judging power and authority. We get it wrong. Let's keep going. Now, the word of God is Jesus. The word of God is power. The word of God is quick and powerful. The word of God is the manifestation of mind and the will of God. Grab that. The word of God is the manifestation will of God. The word of God is the manifestation of the mind will of God. This word of God you are seeing is the part of God's mind. Whenever you read the word of God, you are reading the heart of the Father. Whenever you are reading the word of God, God is opening his heart. Then whenever you want to assess mysteries in the word of God, the Holy Ghost comes and leads you. Because if you enter the heart of God, you can be lost. That is why some people can enter and come out with doctrines that does not glorify God. And yet, it was the same Bible you read that they read. Because they neglect the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you that this place you are going, if you are not careful, you will understand it carnally. Life is highly spiritual. You must know where to look. I was sharing with someone, was it Saturday? It's you and I, Saturday, bro. I think I was standing, you were standing, you didn't even sit down. None of us sat down, we're talking about so many things. We're talking about, at a point, an angel appeared beside you, was touching you, you have to run this side. Okay. As we were talking, an angel appeared and was pushing her. I don't know why the angel was pushing her. She has to run. She has to run this side. You see, we were talking about honor. See, the word of God carries power, whether you like it or not. Wherever it is preached, all things are possible. Wherever it is preached, understand this, wherever the word of God is being preached, Mecholia, Monecholia, the power of God is present. And whenever the power of God is present, he is not limited. He is not limited. How can God be limited? A man came to Jesus. A man came to Elisha and said, I heard that you are the one that can cure what I'm going through. And the prophet did not even come out. He sent someone. He said, go and tell him to go and bathe 7 times in the river. Naaman has activated his faith by being present. The number one faith is being present. The second faith is doing as you are instructed. Because a little girl spoke to him. He said, there is a man called Elisha, the prophet of Israel. I believe he can do this. So though the child was in a place where idols were worshipped, the child was not conformed to the idol. Though she was in a place where her master does sacrifice to an idol, the child was not controlled by the things of that idol. She was still holding on to a prophet that I know that is in Israel. Some of you will say, hey, it's because everybody is doing it, so that's why I'm doing it. No. The nature you have is the nature that stands out. See, you can be anointed that even in the dark you glow. Right? You can be anointed that the devil will use you as a light to gain access to themself. Do you understand that? Ah, Jesus. You can be so anointed that the occult will use your life as Christ that they are seeing. You can be. See, those people in witches and occult, they are more afraid in this world than any other thing. The reason why you see them stand and they talk like, is because they had something that they believe had power or has power. But whenever they come right in front of you, that thing is nullified. It has no power. Why? Because we are just presence. You don't need to tie anything in your waist. You don't need to draw anything in your tongue. Just because you obey and have the word of God in your life, just present yourself. You're a sacrifice. I don't know how to bring this to your head. I know something about the word of God. Something I've understood little. On Sunday, I have to go see my spiritual father. He called me. So I have to, when I went there, my friend as well, and a worker in the ministry, a help minister, by name Maureen, she said, man of God, thank God God has brought you. Now the women are having fellowship. You have to pray. I was like, women, me, come and pray. And if you see me, I was just where I was. Oh my God. You know, someone that just left his house on Sunday now. You're not dressed in any. He said, I have to pray. That even though it's 15 minutes. And I was like, okay. We'll do it. So I went. I said, let me get myself ready. I just sat down. I didn't know what to do. I don't know what to pray. I was like, God help me. I don't know. I don't even know how to pray. I don't know what they have prayed. How to continue from where they are praying. So eventually I came. And he said he will touch the lady so that once I want to start, I will start. Then I started and I asked them to yield themselves to the Spirit of God. Then before I knew that, an angel appeared. I said, oh, we're about to start something. And God began to call names of people. People I don't know from anywhere. And God began to reveal their cases. Now, this is less than 10 minutes and God was present. Whenever his word is spoken, his presence. See, there are angels that protect the word of God. There are angels. The moment you open the word and you said in the book of John chapter this, an angel is present. He said his word will not return to himself void. We limit God. I didn't limit Onya. We limit him too much. Because you watch Nigerian movie where the next doctor throws something, the pastor shakes and throw back. I have love, but we are not mates with these people. Can we go to the book of Hebrew 4, verse 12? See, the way it's burning in me, I don't know how to bring it out. I'm holding myself not to. Really, Paul. Hebrew 4, verse 12. Pay attention to this and listen to this thing. It will heal your heart.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For the word of God is alive.
Now listen. He said, for the word of God is alive. He said, as he spoke unto me, the word. What happened? Are we not reading the Bible? As he spoke unto me, what happened? And he entered into me. Ezekiel could not do anything. But as he heard the word of God, he was weak. And the Spirit of the Lord from his word entered him and strengthened him. The same thing happened with Daniel. In case you don't know, it happened with Daniel as well. The same thing happened with John. Whenever you encounter God, the first thing you do is feel weak. Because your mortal flesh cannot stand behold his light. Cannot behold his light. You are unworthy before his presence. It's the blood of Jesus that makes you to even gaze at him. So when he speaks, the spirit, the word of God that is a spirit, that is alive, enters you and strengthens you. That is why a man of God can be preaching, you'll be catching revelation. Because as he speaks, the word of God leaves him and enters you. And you begin to gain an understanding and ascendance in the spirit. Do you know that sometimes when you are listening to the word of God, there are angels that stand beside you to protect the word of God from touching the floor? No, you don't understand. I don't know. You're not getting... He said when he planted the seed, some fell on a bad soil. They hear the word of God, but they can't retain it. The devil came, will come and take it away. There are some persons here, because of the grace you have entered, that when the word of God is being poured, an angel stands to guide the word of God, that the devil might not take it away. I feel a strong anointing. I'm trying to contain. Open your mouth, this thing. You will not be wasting time. You want to do the work of God. You will want to do His work. When they say, see, there was something they said. When I felt joy, I was happy when they said, let's go to the house of God. There is something they feed from. It's not bread. It's not wine. They feed spiritually. When you are in the presence of God, it's an atmosphere of possibilities. Do you know that the moment you step foot into CEO ministry or into any ministry, one thing, the man of God comes with his angel. You come with your angel. That is true. Then the angel of the mission, the angel of the mission of that ministry also stands. Then the angel that protects the office that man of God carry also stands. Then the angel of the grace that man of God is operating with also stands. Then the dimension and the atmosphere that goes around the man of God comes with its own angels. Then the mantle of that man of God, it is a mantle. See, one of the prophets had his mantle was so powerful that legions of angels were all around. He said, Lord, open his eye that he will see. The moment he saw, though he was close, he was far. Mantle could carry angels. There is a mantle that they will come upon your body now. Angels are not flowing because you are a maker. Angels are flowing because there is something in this boy's body. And because of that mantle, whatever you declare will come to pass. They are there to bid your deeds and your words. See, if you're not a Christian, your life is useless. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. If you're not a Christian, your life is useless. Put my video wherever you want to put it. It's truth. If you're not a Christian, your life is useless. You are blind, blinded to the fullest. You cannot be in a religion where there is no power, there is no miracle. Even if there is a miracle, you are still unsure and uncertain. As a Christian, I'm so certain. I don't know, I'm so certain. If I pray for something, it doesn't work the way I want, I still say, thank you, Jesus. He falls on. Huh? It's what you must come to understand. If you are dead or if you are in need of a healing and I pray with you, I know my faith is active and I know God is willing. If you don't get the healing, it's not me. If my faith is at fault, I'll tell you, hold on, it's me. But if the faith and the unction is ready, you are the one to claim your healing. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't wait for Jesus' faith. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment. The other woman, the other man came and said, I brought my son to the disciples. They could not heal him. Jesus Christ said, how long will I be with you? You generation, how long will I be with you? And the man said, help me. And he said, didn't I say, if you believe, you will see? He said, okay, now help my unbelief. Are we getting blessed? It is very important. Are we coming to that understanding? This is highly important. Very important. Can you read that verse?
For the word of God is alive and active.
He said, for the word of God is alive and is active.
Sharper than any double-edged sword.
He said, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. That means this sharper is not physical. It's both spiritual and physical. So if you think any sword is sharp, This one is sharper. If you think there is anyone sharper in the spiritual realm, this one is sharper. Keep reading, man.
It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit.
Now, it's impossible for you to divide the soul from the spirit. But this sword is so sharp that it can split them.
Yes, sir.
Stop seeing things carnal. Stop seeing things carnal. That is the reason why you can tell someone in the name of Jesus be healed, and the blood that is SS changes to AA. Under 1 second, all you need is belief. I feel a strong anointing. Please, you can sit. I want to touch it all, just little by little. So who is limiting God? Who is limiting him? You want power. Wherever you enter, but I got people out there. How much of his word do you know? How much of his dealings do you carry? Let me share this with you. There are three things in life that helps a man grow. One person plants the seed. Another waters the seed. God makes it grow. If someone, a man of God, plant the seed, and you go to a place where there is no water, that seed will die. You will go for it to be planted again. If someone, a man of God, sow a seed that is dead in you, you go to a place where there is water, that seed will not germinate. The water will kill that seed even. Three things are needed. The right place where you hear the word of God. That water, does you know what it means? The water means people that are around you. There are people that give you life. Your encouragement comes from the surrounding that you have around you. They water you. When you are falling, people say, "Kai, you don't need to fall. My brother will hold to you." We must know the word of God. It must be so real to us. Carry it. I don't know if I'm speaking to some persons here. Reject ordinary. Reject ordinary. Let people say you are too spiritual. Let people say it. Let them shout it that you are too spiritual. Ekwem, I accept it. I'm too spiritual. Let them say your dressing has changed because you gave your life to Christ. I accept. Let them say you're no longer coming to dance with us. I accept. Since nobody won't even him. We must come to be. See, the thing is that most Christians think you need to blend. No, we are not here to blend. We can't blend. How can you blend when you carry power? You can't blend. Even if you want to blend, the power in you cannot blend. There's no comparison between light and dark. One is light, one is dark. There's nothing like they look alike. They cannot look alike. You are either light or you are dark. You can't say, "I'm lukewarm." You can't even be in between. The kingdom is two. Either here or here. You can't separate it. Your family is not believing the word of God that is coming from your mouth. Don't waste your time. Live your life. They will see your life. They will repent. Your family are always the last people to join the cross. They are the last people to join the cross. Even Jesus was rejected in his own family. Who are you? Even some men of God that say, "In my family, I am honored too. I look you somehow. I look you somehow." It will take the grace of God. They might be saying they honor you, but their heart is not there. I tell you the truth. One person can follow you, yes. Two, I mean, we have the brother of Jesus that followed him. Yes, one can follow. Yes, that's true. But all of them know if he follow you. If you want, raise the dead in front of them. They will even say, "Are you sure?" Or the quarrel. But you spend so much time wanting them to believe you. Some people say charity begins at home. Not in this case. The charity does not begin at home in this case. Because if it's so, Jesus Christ would have won his village.
He said, if they can persecute me, they will do more to you. They said, the mother of this person, of the two brothers, came and said, Jesus, and please, I would like you in your kingdom. Let one of my sons be in your right ground. He said, that we are there ready to drink from the cup of suffering that is meant for me. And they said, yes. And Jesus said, I agree that you will drink from it, but it's the Father that chooses who stays in my right or in my left. He asked them and they said, I am ready to take it. And they took that cup of suffering. Cup of suffering. See, let me tell you, humility is when you have money and God said, don't travel. Humility is when you have 10 million and you know you can afford Dubai and God said, don't go anywhere. Humility is not when you are poor. You say, I want to go, and God say, wait, it's not yet time. You say, I'm respecting God. That is no humility. That is poverty. That is no humility. Humility is when you are walking behind shawarma joint. You know you have the money to buy it. You are looking at it. You can't buy it. Why? God said, don't. I'm not saying God will stop you, but I'm just emphasizing on something. That is humility. If the word of God does not penetrate your heart, nothing else will penetrate it. Can we go something again to the book of Joshua 1:7? This is where I will stop. And we'll pray. If we need to sit down and pray in the spirit, we'll sit down and pray. And we ask God for unusual dimension. The ways of God are not the ways of man. The ways of God are not the ways of man. As a Christian, you must learn to see from the eyes of God. You must learn it. Read.
Praise God.
Listen to this. You want prosperity. People, you know, one of the biggest demands people want is prosperity. But it's in your life. It's written everywhere, but we can't find it. Please read, ma'am.
Joshua 1:7 says, be strong and very courageous.
He said, number one, you must be strong and be very courageous. Now, wherever you see be strong and very courageous, talking about faith. Faith in action. You can't be strong if you don't have faith. You can't be courageous until you have faith. Let me tell you one thing. She walked up to someone she doesn't know and asked the person, what is the problem? Do you know that maybe in the past 3 or 4 years, she might not do that? It takes boldness to preach the gospel. It takes boldness. What if your boldness determines what the person receives? Please read, ma'am.
Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law, my
He said, be careful to obey all the law. That's be careful to obey the words of God.
My servant Moses gave you.
My servant Moses gave you.
Do not turn from it right or left.
See, do not turn from it left or right. Do not take one thing. Do not neglect it.
That you may be successful in everything you go.
First of all, if you use King James, he said, meditate on it day and night. And he said, only then will you prosper. Prosperity is in the scriptures. Prosperity is in the scripture. But there is a condition. The word of God must be everything in your life. Some of us can afford to buy a phone of 60,000, but we can't afford to buy a Bible. Some persons here cannot afford. They have money. Do you know? Let me tell you one thing. Some persons live a life that is so wrong in their life. Not in my life, wrong in their own life. Some people can have 10,000 now. They go to a bookshop. How much is this book? 1,002. Chisom, do you have social book? I have it. Okay, my friend has it. No need. They spend the 1,002. That your friend will give you the book, you read it, you will not receive any impartation. If I have spiritual things, don't think because you have read it as entered. No. It will be taken from you. You didn't value it. Whatever you value, you will sow into it. If you don't sow into it, you won't receive it. If you want to read all the 100 books, you will gain nothing. You didn't pay a price for it. You were bought with a price. Jesus paid his blood for you and I to be free. Some persons are like that. Some persons are waiting that one day you might get, your Bible might be old, you will give them. They're going to have a tapa, they won't save, they'll be eating it. They're waiting till the time they will inherit, they want to inherit your Bible. There are persons like that. I learned something. Paul said to Timothy, he said, bring all my books. He said, bring my books. Bring them all. Bring my, all of them, bring them. He wasn't, bring all of them. The value you attach to a thing determines the level in which you climb in life. Whatever you don't honor and don't value, you can't attract it. The day I saved money to buy a book, I bought one Bible. That's 5,000. My body shake. My body shake. My body shake. I even snapped the picture. Say, hey, I've gotten this Bible. My body shake. How many do I, we have? We have so many Bibles. We have so many study Bibles. King James, NLT. In fact, it's too much. Too much Bible in the house. Too much. Have for phone, no. Have different ones. I'm paying almost 7,000 a year for a phone. And still, I bought that one. How can you have other things and not have the word? Why are you buying different Bibles? Because you want to understand this word. You want to come to an understanding of the depth of the word of God. So as you are reading King James, you are reading NLT, you are reading Amplify, you are trying to understand one scripture, one verse. You are trying to get the understanding of that verse so that it becomes a nature. Any word of God you take that you don't apply to your life will become useless to you. Confess it from now to the next 10 years. If it is not alive in you, it will not work. The word of God must be meditated on. Do you know how the monks learn humility? The monks. You know what they call the monks? I don't mean our own monk. I mean like the all these foreign monks. It's monks they call them. Voodoo or something. They worship one idol like that. Buddha. You know what they do? They cross their leg and they meditate. They enter into the astral world. They learn humility in the astral world. You as a Christian, we have to bring you to preach the gospel to you to learn. They just sit, cross their leg and meditate. Their spirit leaves. They enter the astral world, the celestial world, where they undergo training and studies. And this is what our Father created for us to enjoy. But we prefer to be natural. I'm so humble. You are so humble that even you are humble before a demon.